Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
We're truly delighted for your presence this morning. I think I hear rain coming down on the roof of the building, so it indicates that it's a rather wet day, but there's a lot of warmth and sunshine within the hearts of us all as we've gathered to worship God. I've chosen a lesson today that is more current in its application for our needs concerning a practice that is so prevalent in the world. And the question that we're going to pose is this: what would God have His people do? Would He want His children to participate in this particular thing? And I refer to a sin that is rampant in our nation called gambling. Gambling in America is a $50 billion industry. Can you imagine that? $50 billion a year spent on gambling in the United States. That's legalized gambling. No telling how many more billions of dollars are spent on what is called illegal gambling. And it has now come to Texas in the form of a legalized, legitimized state lottery. And many, many people are participating. In fact, the very first week of the Texas lottery was the biggest of any state so far. And I can't help but feel that a lot of Christians have and are presently participating in that. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone this morning, but I do want us to all think together. And I would just imagine that those who perhaps have participated just haven't really thought it through. All the ramifications, all the repercussions, the principles, the commands, the instructions of God's will that would indeed pertain to this. Uppermost in our minds should always be, what is God's will? What would He have us to do? Whether it's this or any other activity that you might think of. I'm going to lay before your minds this morning five different principles or teachings found in the Bible, clearly instructing us. Now, if you'd like to take notes on this, you feel free to do so. But if you would prefer just to listen, that would be fine, because I'm planning to place in written form in the big bulletin that we print from month to month, the content pretty well of what we're going to be delivering in person this morning. Number one, God's Word teaches us to shun the things of this world. Now, Kevin asked you to open your Bible to Ephesians 5, and we're going to come back to that passage, but let's look at another first. Open your Bible to the fourth chapter of the book of James. The fourth chapter of the book of James. It is my conviction that if we'll look at these verses together, that they'll have a greater impact on our minds. Please note verse 4 of the fourth chapter of James. I'm reading from the American Standard Translation. Ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God. Now think about that for a moment. Here is a very clear-cut statement. Whosoever makes himself an enemy or a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't be identified with the world and at the same time be in a right relationship with God. Isn't that what that verse is saying? I really don't see how we could gain anything other than that from it. Whosoever, therefore, would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God. Well, that's a very attention-getting statement, it seems to me. And I believe that every Christian needs to ponder that. All of the ramifications of what's involved in that verse. Well, now let's turn to Ephesians 5. I know that Kevin has already read that context for you, but we want to look at it again and give some emphasis here. Let's start at verse 5 instead of verse 3. We know that he enumerates a variety of different things in verses 3 and 4, saying that they're clearly wrong. Know of a surety that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. Now, that word, in its more comprehensive meaning, means an insatiable appetite for more and more things. One who is enamored with the material and temporal things. No covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Now, I think we would all have to admit that the main motivating factor in such things as the lottery is to try and get a lot for a little. And that's what motivates people to buy the lottery tickets. Well, here the Bible is saying that no covetous man who is an idolater has any part in the kingdom of God. Well, that gets my attention, doesn't it, you? What is a covetous man? One who is enamored overly much with the material and temporal things of this world, who has an insatiable appetite for more and more things. And such an individual is an idolater. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, now whether it's immorality or whether it's being covetous, the Bible says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That is, with other people who participate in those things. What is the instruction? Christians are said, told very plainly, don't you be a participator with them. Now, if we went no further at all than from James 4, verse 4, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7, it seems to me that we'd have the answer. But we've got a lot more to say. You were once darkness. Notice how these things are associated with the realm of darkness. But now are light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. We're not to walk as children of the world, not children of the darkness. We don't belong in that realm any longer. Now look at verse 10. Proving what is well-pleasing unto God. Well, now how can I prove what is well-pleasing unto God? There's only one way, and that's to open His book and see what His will is. And then this tells me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And so if we're talking about drinking, or if we're talking about immorality, or if we're talking about the lottery, whatever it might be, I ask the question, what has God revealed to me? So I open up His book and I start reading, and I read about a covetous man, and I see that that's very displeasing to God, and it tells me not to participate in such as that. It tells me that I am a child of the light as a Christian, and I'm not to walk in the darkness any longer, and therefore I know what the Lord's will. And then it tells me, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather even reprove thee. Would that not suffice for an answer? If we were really honest with ourselves and honest with God's Word, would we have to look any further? I really believe that the principles of James 4, verse 4 and Ephesians 5 would tell the Christian whether or not he should participate. But there's so much more. Let's look a little further. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is another example. Let's look at the middle part of verse 14. Because here you have a principle that is broadly applicable. And he asked the question, what fellowship hath righteousness and iniquity, or what communion hath light with darkness? Now that goes hand in hand with what we just read in Ephesians chapter 5. But now look at verse 17. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Are we worldlings, or are we Christians? Are we citizens of the dark domain, or are we citizens of the kingdom of light? That's the question. Should we participate in the things that the people of this world participate in and seem to get all excited about? Have you ever seen anything given a greater ballyhoo than the Texas State Lottery? Why, it's on television, it's in the newspaper, it's advertised. Nearly every store is selling the lottery tickets. They're encouraging that. And so a person walks into one of those stores. People are buying them right and left. The temptation is there. What should a Christian do? Should he go ahead and participate? Or should he consider these principles, you see, that God has given? Whosoever would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. A covetous man has no part in the kingdom of God. Such a man is walking in darkness, and we're not to be that kind of individuals. We're to prove what is good and pleasing in the sight of God, and we're not to be participators with them, and we're to come out and be separate. We are a people separated from the world. The principle of holiness. Be ye holy, even as he who called you is holy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. Well, now, gambling smacks of evil. It just has the appearance of evil. One doesn't have to be very astute to say, wait a minute, this is an evil practice. Gambling, I'm talking in general terms now. Whether it's a dice game behind some dim-lit tavern, or whether it's in the casinos out at Las Vegas, or wherever it might be, gambling smacks of evil. And just because a state comes along and legalizes or legitimizes it, as far as the laws are concerned, doesn't make it right. And we need to remember that. So the point that I want to make, God's Word teaches us to shun the things of this world. Number two, God's Word teaches us not to be enamored with money and material and temporal things. Now, we've already touched on that, but we want to look a little bit further. Hear what Jesus had to say. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Take heed. Do you know that's a warning? I'm giving you a warning, the Lord is saying. And by the way, I plan to bring an entire sermon on that before too long. Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. There's that word again. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now I want you to take Luke 12, verse 15, and put it right alongside these other principles. But now open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote in a very well-known context, verses 9 and 10. Most of us are conversant with these verses, but I don't think maybe that we've really digested the import of what he's written as carefully as we might should. But they that are minded to be rich. Now, Maxie Bourne didn't write this. The Apostle Paul wrote this as God, through the Spirit, revealed His will. They that are minded to be rich, that is, have that as their desire, their goal, this is what they're seeking for, fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. Oh, think of that verse. Now verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, do you think that the Spirit of God led Paul to write that just to fill up space? I don't believe so. I believe that it was put there for the same reason that any other part of the Bible was given. God communicating to us instruction in righteousness. How are we going to live on this earth? Are we going to get right in there with the world and do what the world does? And are we going to go out and drink? Are we going to go out and party? Are we going to go out and revel? Are we going to gamble and do everything else that the world does? Is that what God would have His people do? Think about it. I know that there are Christians participating in this thing. And I personally believe that they're doing so without having really thought about all of the ramifications. Without doing what Paul said in Ephesians 5. Prove what is well-pleasing to God. And like in every other case, we're going to have to give an account to God someday for the matter. And I believe we just need to stop and think, and so I'm trying to stimulate your thinking. There is a principle laid down in the book of Proverbs. Now, in that particular context, Proverbs chapter 6, it deals with the sin of adultery. But the principle would be the same in anything. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Think about that for a moment. Whatever you do has ramifications. If a man goes out and commits adultery, ramifications are involved. Things are set in motion that can never be recalled and everything be just as it was, you see. The same thing is true. A man goes out and he gets drunk. Ramifications. A man starts to gamble. And I'm using the word man there in a generic sense. A person, male or female, indulges in these things. Ramifications. Just like the rolling of a stone, it can't be recalled. The firing of a gun, you can't go and reclaim the bullet. And the same thing is true in our conduct. What we participate in, what we do, it's going to have ramifications. It's going to affect not only us, but others. Please bear that in mind because I'm really going to bring out that point right now. The Bible also teaches us to be honorable, to conduct ourselves with honor. And I cite two passages to substantiate this. Romans chapter 12, and verse 17, take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. And then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 gives us this principle. Even though the context is dealing with something else, yet the principle is there. He said, take thought for things honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Christians are to be an honorable people. But gambling will destroy honor. And it will rob a person of proper character and integrity and self-respect. And it can break up a marriage, it can cost a job, and it can disintegrate a life. Now I know whereof I speak. I'm thinking right now of a man that I know real well. He's not a member of the Lord's church, but it has also happened to members of the church. But I've known the man for several years now. He was a man who occupied a position of honor in his community. He was a rather large landowner, having not what we would call a Texas ranch, but several dozens of acres of choice land. A man who had a beautiful home, a lovely family. He got interested in horse racing. And he started going to Shreveport, Louisiana, and out to New Mexico, and he got caught up in gambling. Now, this is a fact. As time went by, he became more heavily involved, even though his wife and family did not know of his heavy involvement. He became addicted to gambling. Someone says, can you become addicted to gambling? The answer is yes. Just as a person can become addicted to alcohol or can become addicted to drugs, a person can become obsessed with gambling. And this man became obsessed with gambling. He started incurring huge debts that his family did not know about. He started borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, as the old saying goes. He would go to one bank and borrow money in order to pay off a loan from another bank that he was using to pay off his gambling debts. All of this going on, and his family did not even know about it until it finally came to a head. And when it came to a head, it was so ugly, and he had gotten so bogged down in it that the man ended up losing all of his land. He and his wife finally got a divorce over the quarreling and all that ensued. He lost the respect of his family. He was dishonored in the community. Someone says, well, wait just a minute, preacher. I'm not going to get that far involved. Maybe just a lottery ticket here and there. It's not going to involve me. You know, one's not going to get involved who never takes that first step. I don't believe that man ever dreamed that he was going to reach the involvement that he reached. Just as the drunkard never dreams that that first drink is going to someday land him in the gutter. He just doesn't think about that. I can handle it, the drinker says. But how many do? Very, very few handle it. Many, many lives have been wrecked by drinking. Many lives have been wrecked by drugs, and many lives have been wrecked through gambling. And yet we don't seem to be aware of that. Gambling is not honorable. Think who is associated with it. Who is it that promotes it? Well, I'll guarantee you, the mafia is up to its ears in gambling. Places like Las Vegas and Atlantic City, New Jersey, are hotbeds of the mobsters, and everybody knows that. The law enforcement people know that, and we know it. Let's not delude ourselves. Gambling is one of the tools of evil, corrupt men to fleece the unsuspecting and the easily duped. And people by the thousands, yea, the hundreds of thousands, involve themselves in it and fill the coffers of such men as that. Gambling is not honorable because of those who are associated with it. And remember the Apostle Paul said, be not deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Now just because a state comes along and legalizes it, you see, I guess there's a little greed even in those who run the state, that are in the state legislatures, that are in the seat of government, governing the state. But I'm not talking about the world. I can't have any control with what the world does. The question is, what would God have His people do? And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the Bible teaches us to have a discerning eye and to approve the things that are excellent. And there's no stretch of the imagination by which one could say gambling is an excellent thing for us to be involved in. It smacks of evil. And people who operate it and promote it are people of the world trying to get other people of the world to participate in this that is of the world. And the Bible says, whosoever would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Number four. God's Word teaches us to use our influence properly. Think of that. The Bible teaches us that we are seen as lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. But what if we conduct ourselves just like everybody else does? How can we wield an influence for good if Christians are out there drinking and gambling and partying just like everybody else does? What's the difference? Jesus taught that His disciples are in the world, but His disciples are not of the world. There is a difference there. Christians are distinct people. They are a people belonging to God. They are a people for His possession, and they have a responsibility to show forth the excellencies of the One who called them out of darkness. And they're taught to place their approval on things that are excellent. No way that I, as a Christian, can put my stamp of approval, as it were, on the things that pertain to this world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible teaches us to abstain from those things which war against the soul. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. And certainly gambling wars against the soul. And this matter of glorifying God. Open your Bible quickly to 1 Corinthians 10. Again, the context deals with the meats sacrificed to idols and things of that nature, but the principle is there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the middle part of the verse, reading from the American Standard Translation, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Think of that. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If I go into the store and I buy several lottery tickets this week, one next week, three or four the following week, am I glorifying God in that? Question. You see, I told you at the outset, I'm not trying to decide for you. I'm giving you what I believe the Bible teaches. And naturally, I hope and pray that what I'm saying this morning will have an impact in your life. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I'm certainly giving warning. That's my responsibility as a gospel preacher, to sound a warning. And so many preachers don't touch a subject like this. But I feel that it's my responsibility. And so I'm trying to give you the principles that should govern your life. And here is one, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, are we glorifying God if we gamble? That's the question. I don't believe we are. Number five, listen. God's Word teaches us to look beyond the here and the now to the heavenly realm and to keep ourselves in the pathways of righteousness in view of the judgment to come. Now, there are passage after passage in the Bible that teaches this. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. What shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Principles to govern our lives, to guide us, to help us make these decisions. But I'm convinced that a lot of our people never even consider what these guidelines are. They don't think about them. But we'd better think about them. Gird yourselves is what the Bible teaches. In anticipation of the revelation of the Lord Jesus, don't fashion yourselves according to your former lust in the time of your ignorance. But like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1, verse 27. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude, verse 21. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 2. How many verses would we need to quote? How many commands would we need to cite? How many principles would we need to bring forth for our consideration? Why, we've already given you enough this morning to convince anybody, it seems to me. Only one thing really matters in the final analysis. Listen closely. And that's whether or not we're found faithful in Jesus Christ when He comes again. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9 teaches us that. His Word teaches us plainly that during our earthly pilgrimage, we are to live as He directs, shunning the wrong and doing the right. Brethren, I say to you this morning, from deep conviction, that gambling is wrong. It's a sin. It smacks of evil. It's promoted by the worldly people for people of the world. It ruins lives. It alienates people from God. And the true Christian will distance himself from it. And he will abstain from that which has the form of evil. And he will sanctify himself to walk in pathways of righteousness. I hope and pray that the lesson that I brought this morning will be provocative and stimulating. I'll be glad to talk to any of you personally about it. And the article will be in the big bulletin a week from now. Be watching for that, where a lot of these points will be put in writing form for your further consideration. I really believe it's a question that's on the minds of people. Is it wrong for me to do this? I believe that it is. And I believe the Bible substantiates that. Think about it. If you're present this morning and you're not a Christian, we would urge you to render obedience to the gospel. Turn away from sin. Make up your mind, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to align myself with what's right, and I'll stand against what's wrong. And then be baptized straightway into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins upon your confession of faith in Him as the Son of God. If you are a member of the Lord's church and you haven't been living faithfully and you know that you haven't, come back home and make it right.